Man.
Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord, everybody, in Jesus' name, amen. We are blessed to be here in Jesus' name, amen. We praise God for being here in the name of Jesus. If you are listening to me right now, you are blessed, not because of my voice, not because of anything Minister Adam Tuggle has done, but because if you are listening to me right now, you are blessed. Because you are yet in the land of the living, in Jesus' name. And that is a reason to give our Lord some praise on today, in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a phenomenal, phenomenal topic today, in Jesus' name. And on today, I have a very, very big surprise for everyone in that is listening today. We are going to be talking about, this is the topic today, we're going to be talking about the end times, the rapture, and the tribulation period. This is something that most don't like talking about. Most people fear talking about, because it's talking about the end of the world. It's talking about the end of our natural life, amen, and it leads to our eternal life, amen. These three areas, I only want to be part of two of the three, amen. And you might say, well, why do you only want to be part of two of the three? Right now, we're living in one of the areas. We all are living, those that are alive, we are living in one of those areas already. Amen. And that is the end times. The other area that we strive to live in is the rapture. Amen. Because that third area, you don't want to be a part of the third thing that we are talking about today, which is the tribulation period. But we're going to dive into this, but I want to start off this topic today. I want to start off by giving God some praise. Amen. I want to give honor and glory to God, who is the head of my life, in Jesus' name. I want to give honor to my pastor and my first lady, in Jesus' name, Pastor William Tuggle and First Lady Cosette Tuggle, in Jesus' name. And I also want to give honor to the watchman on the wall of this great network, the Spirit Alive Network, Apostle Cook. God bless you, in Jesus' name. Amen. And we're going to dive into this topic today. And all of the Spirit Alive family, I thank God for each and every one of you, in Jesus' name. To my beautiful wife and my children, God bless you all. I honor you all, in Jesus' name, in their respective places. Amen. Today, we are talking about the rapture. We are talking about the end times, the rapture, and the tribulation period. Now, I want to start this off by saying this. We are not at the beginning of the end times. We're close to the end of the end times. I know down through generations, I know in my generation, the saints of God, when I was a child, the saints of God used to say to me and my brothers and my sister as we were growing up and all of the young people of my generation, get ready because the Lord is soon to come. The Lord is soon to come. The Lord is soon to come. And I'm 36 years old and the Lord hasn't come yet. But I do know that he is soon to come. Amen. We're going to look at the end times. What are the end times? The end times are the beginning of the coming of the Lord. And what I mean by that are the signs of the coming of the Lord. Amen. These are the signs that we see that the end is near, that the coming of the Lord is right at hand. And we see these signs more prevalent now than we've ever seen them before. We see such as examples that the Bible declares, earthquakes in diverse places, wars and rumors of wars. This is the beginning of the end times. This is all the beginning, as the Bible declares unto us, that this is the beginning of sorrow. Amen. And that sorrow is the end times, the things that we see today. I know that in the end times, we see a lot of perilous things happening. We see murders happening. And when you turn on your TV, and this is something that I see and you probably see every day. Every time you turn on the news, somebody has gotten killed. Somebody has done something very, you would think, crazy out of their mind to do. And they've done these things. But this is considered as part of the prophecy of the end times. Amen. These are the signs. This is the beginning of sorrow. Amen. When we look on the news and we see people dying, you know, men's hearts failing them, these are the different things that we see in the end times. Now, one thing. When did the end times start? A lot of people have that question. When did the end times start? The end times started when the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of the Lord was poured out on the day of Pentecost. That's when the end times started. The end times started as soon as the church was born. As soon as the church, that's when the end times started. And the end times up until the Holy Ghost being given up until now, we've seen the signs of the times. Amen. We've seen the signs of the times. The times are, and it's, you know, when I was a young child, I heard it all the time where we have seen that the times are just so, it's crazy. And I remember back when I was a child, my former pastor used to tell all of the young people all the time, man, you got to be ready for the coming of the Lord. You have to be ready for the coming of the Lord. And I know my pastor, I know in his generation, he heard, you know, the Lord is coming back. But I wanted to give time because I have a special guest in the studio today that are with me on today. I have my very own pastor, Pastor William Tuggle, in the studio today. And I wanted to bring him in here because even though I do know enough, I think, about the end times and the rapture and the tribulation, but my pastor knows more than I do. Amen. So I wanted to bring him in just to share the things that the Lord has brought to him about these three different areas of our life about the end times, the rapture. And like I said, when we first started the show, there's only two of these areas, the end times, the rapture, and the tribulation period. There's only two of these that we need to be a part of. And one of them we're already a part of, which is the end times. But the other two, we should strive to be in the rapture, because the tribulation, you don't want to be a part of that. But I want to have Pastor Tuggle come on in and, you know, introduce himself and all of that. Pastor, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, Minister Adam.
I praise God for you, Pastor. I usually start off with a scripture, but I'm going to let you do that today. Amen. You know more about this than I do. Amen. I don't know everything. So I want you to help us out today. As far as the end times, because I was talking about the end times. Now, the end times, which started, did it start on the day?
Actually, it started the day the Lord went back to send you back to heaven.
Okay. All right. So, see, that's why I said I like to have my pastor and my first lady here, and my first lady is here as well, in Jesus' name, amen. When you talk about the end times, Pastor and First Lady, when you talk about the end times, I know I said it at the start of the show. When we were young, we heard to be ready for the coming of the Lord, that we're living in the end times, that the coming of the Lord is right at hand. I know in y'all's generation, y'all heard the same thing. Is this very important to know that we should be ready for the coming of the Lord?
Yes, of course. We should be ready. And the Lord has given us ways to know that time is winding up.
Okay.
Through the various signs that he has given unto us. So that the child of God shouldn't be taken unawarely.
Right. And, okay, so when you say taken unaware, and first of all, you can dive into this too. Amen. Now, when you say be taken unaware, because there's a lot of, as I said at the start of the show, the Bible declares that a perilous time shall come.
Mm-hmm.
And we're living in those perilous times. As we look on the news, we see killings everywhere. We see earthquakes in diverse places, which the Bible does declare to us.
Mm-hmm.
These are the signs of the times.
Amen.
So what are other signs that we should look for in the end times to know that the coming of the Lord is right at hand?
Well, one that we're currently presently looking at is the war between Hamas and Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Bible does state that in the end times there'll be wars and rumors of wars. So that's one big sign that is being broadcast over CNN and in the various churches, and there's so many more.
Right. There are now. There's natural signs that the Lord gave to us, which you have said. Couple of them, and then there's spiritual signs as well.
Right.
And I'm a call on First Lady for this one, because she don't hold back, y'all.
No.
And I like the way First Lady does it. Amen. First Lady, what are the spiritual signs that you see as what the Lord told us to get ready for as we live in the end times and getting ready for the rapture of the church?
There's a few things that I'm seeing. The lackadaisical church that's going on right now, those who are rejecting what was once taught to the saints is being ignored and saying it doesn't take all that anymore. Seeing homosexuality rising up, not just within the world, but even inside the church world.
Mm-hmm.
In Jesus' name, how you can see those who have not been delivered completely being active in the church, and nothing wrong with that
right
to a degree. But when they're in the pulpit, leading the choir, are leading the song, there's something wrong with that.
Right.
Get that person delivered first. First of all, they need the baptism in Jesus' name, and they need to repent of their sins.
Right.
And quite frankly, they can be delivered completely once they get filled with the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Because the Bible says you're going to get power.
Mm-hmm.
That's the power to walk right, talk right, dress right, treat others right.
Right.
Because, first of all, the first thing that the saints of God should get when they're born again of the water and the Spirit is that there should be a complete change, a makeover. People are making over the outside, but they're not making over the inside. When I say makeover, people are literally trying to transform themselves over to, this has been heavy on me, transforming their outer appearance to look like other people, to try to look like Hollywood, act like Hollywood, talk like Hollywood. They even start to dance like they Hollywood. They're bringing worldly music into the church. That's another sign.
Right.
Bringing worldly music into the church, and then they want to dance like they're of the world. Look, I'm going to tell you something. I was born again of the water and the Spirit in 1988.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And at that time point, the dance was the cabbage patch because I was somebody who went out to the clubs and stuff.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you what God can do. He can sit there and take that worldly dance out of you.
Mm-hmm.
I know that the first time I shouted, I thought I was really shouting unto the Lord until they showed me and imitated what I was doing, which I was doing to imitate, doing the cabbage patch, not aware.
Right.
But as time went on, and I'm talking about within that immediate month, God took that cabbage patch step out of my hands, out of my feet and out of my arms,
mm-hmm.
and he changed it over to a holy dance in Jesus' name. These are the things I'm talking about. When I'm looking at Facebook and all this stuff that's happening inside the church, that pastors, bishops, whoever is sitting up there allowing this stuff, thinking that they're drawing these people. No, baby, you just backslid. That's
right.
What you are. You're backslid,
right.
Or you was never in.
Right. And there's a complete difference between what about, you know, the dance that you were, that when you first got saved, you did not know.
Exactly.
You did not know.
Exactly.
You were trying, you were still in that natural state mentality,
mm-hmm.
which was all right at
that time.
Because God had not changed you yet.
He changed me, but I still have a little bit of the world
right.
still left in me.
Right.
But it didn't take long. Once I was shown what I was doing,
but
when you want to change, you will change.
Yeah. Let me add this. We are in Christ progressing.
Right.
Pressing
toward the mark.
Because that's a part, pressing toward the mark.
Right.
We are constantly progressing in God.
Right.
But like my wife is saying, is that some of the things that we may have done
in the world,
mm-hmm. coming into the church,
right.
you shouldn't bring your garbage
right.
into the church.
Right.
I mean, two things the Lord just spoke to me. Either you're either progressing or you're regressing.
Right.
Either you're progressing or you're regressing.
And there's one thing I like about YouTube and the pastor that I sat up underneath before you, Pastor McGordon, the one thing that y'all don't allow and the one thing that Pastor McGordon didn't allow is to allow everybody to do just anything in the church.
Right. Yeah.
Stop it at the door. And these pastors nowadays are not stopping this stuff at the door. And this is the end times that we're talking about.
I'm gonna give a remark because anybody and everybody should be allowed into the church.
Right.
And they are not going to change before you can't. The old saying, you cannot skin a cat, or you cannot steal a fish
before you catch it. Right.
Now, what I learned about Mother Gordon, okay, so I'm just gonna go there. Yes, sir, I'm gonna go there. The Lord dropped in my spirit to go there.
Okay.
I'm gonna take it there.
Go ahead.
These women. I'm talking about those who are filled with the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Speaking in tongues, the Spirit of God gives you utterance.
Mm-hmm.
These women that are regressing and going back into their pants, there is supposed to be a distinction between a man and a woman. And don't sit there and give me that malarkey that women's pants are made different than a man's pants. The devil is a liar. Because the Bible distinctly says briefs in the Bible. And if you look up briefs, that is pants, baby girl, and baby boy. There's a distinction. Now, we make fun of the brothers that will put on their dresses and their skirts and will put on their nails and will put on their makeup. Why don't we sit there and say something about these evangelists, these first ladies, these pastor women that are sitting up there wearing the pants? Because if a man comes up inside the church with his dress or his skirt on, you're going to sit there and either point your fingers at him or call him out or something.
Yeah.
So let's not be biased in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
You wearing men's pants, that's the bottom line. I don't care how feminine it looks, you're still wearing pants. That's how you know when we're at the end times, when people start rebelling. Let's get to the jewelry. Amen. We done brought Catholicism over into the holiness church.
Yeah.
People want to go around with these big crosses. Don't talk about the Catholics and their big crosses that they wear across their neck, because holiness has brought it in.
Right.
We are not supposed to be wearing jewelry. The Bible says modesty. Half of the stuff that I'm seeing that's going on, half these women are not modest with their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They are wearing them big, blinged out, and everything else. Your makeup looks atrocious. And you know how I know makeup is not good for you? Because I used to wear it. Let me finish. I used to wear it. And when the Lord filled me with the Holy Ghost, he showed me me. He didn't show me nobody else. And I went to an event immediately after for one of my children at a school. And I was sitting in bleachers. And I started looking around. The Lord had me looking around. There was a bunch of ladies. They weren't saved. And they had all their stuff. And so the Lord illuminated me, and they started to look like clowns. And I was laughing on the inside. I was like, Lord, that's where I used to look. He said, yes, ma'am, that's where you used to look. I was looking like a clown. I'm not going to pick on nobody else. I was looking like a clown because that's what the Lord showed me. So, sisters, let's get it together. Amen. Now, let me go to homosexuality. Back to homosexuality. Amen. Because the Bible distinctly says, and that as it was in the day of Noah, well, it says in O when he says that scripture. I do know it's
Noah.
I know, but I'm going by what the scripture says. It could be no or Noah, okay? I'm just going by that particular scripture. So will it be in the latter days. In this last day, we are seeing everything. You got transgenders, you got homosexuality, you got lesbians, you got non-binary, you got all this stuff. These people are cuckoo and they don't know who they are.
Right.
And the church needs to get out there and win them. Don't talk about them. Win them. There are those of us,
mm-hmm.
such were some of us,
mm-hmm.
that have come into the church, and the Lord has completely changed us.
Mm-hmm.
And I say us because I once was one of them.
Right.
And God has delivered me.
Right.
From 1988 up until now, I don't have that mixed up, confused mindset that I once had, whether or not I'm a man or a woman. I am Isha, I am a woman.
Right.
Made for a man.
Right. And the thing about the change, because
mm-hmm.
not only did the Lord do that for you,
mm-hmm.
he's done that with me
mm-hmm.
when, before I first got saved,
mm-hmm.
I had a family member buy me a pair of shorts.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord told me to take them off, and I have not worn shorts since then.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that at the age of 9, I got dealt with by the Lord at the age of 8.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord said, take them off. Don't wear them no more. And I took them off. And I have, like I said, I haven't worn them since then.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lord did that. The Lord took me out of
that. Exactly, and that's what I was going to say. It wasn't Pastor Evangelist Dorothy McGordon who took it. She never touched anything that the Lord took me out of,
right,
and what he put me into as far as spiritual wise, because there is makeup. The Lord's been dealing with me. There is a makeup that we, even spiritually, that we wear. We make ourselves up
mm-hmm.
in the transformation of Jesus Christ.
Right.
We wear Jesus. Amen. Everywhere we go. Look, you can say you're a Christian. Alcoholics say they're Christian. The bum out on the street says he's a Christian. The fornicator says he or she is a Christian. the adulterer says he or she is a Christian.
Everybody's
saying there is a transformation that has, once you have been transformed from darkness into this marvelous light, people will see it. They will know it by what?
The truth that you,
the fruit,
that you bear.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some come in, and I know this because I've heard them. Some came in and they were kicking against the pricks. Even after they got through with the Holy Ghost, they've been fighting ever since against all truth and everything. Some of the people who sit there and taught me holiness have now changed.
Mm-hmm.
We are not to change. We should change over to Christ. Foremost, we should be, think about it. What would you do if Jesus came walking up inside here in a dress? I mean, yes, I know they wore robes. Don't get it twisted. Back in the day,
well, there's some preachers that will say that. Oh, if Jesus wore a robe.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the same distinction.
It's not, but that wasn't a dress.
Right.
It's not.
And that's why I said it's not the same distinction as a man wearing a dress.
I heard a well-known pastor evangelist, and I heard it for myself, talking on the TV set, talking about. It basically wasn't nothing wrong with tattoos and stuff, but Jesus is going to come back on a horse and he has a tattoo on the side of his leg. That is not a tattoo, baby. That is not a tattoo.
No, Jesus is not coming back
with no tattoo on. When he sits,
what?
He is not going to sit there. His Bible, the Word of God, speaks against tattoos. He is never going to go against his Word.
Right. He said, have no part, no marks or no print on your body.
Right.
In the book of Leviticus.
Amen. Now, with that being said, we do have people who are coming into holiness. Holiness is Jesus Christ, first of all. Let's get that cleared up. Amen.
Right.
For he is holy. And he says we should be holy after we get filled with the Holy Ghost. Okay? Those who are coming over into holiness and they have all those markings, they can go out there and pay all that money and try. But you know what I say about that? God bring them in. So they can be a witness to that person who is out there looking for a way out of this messed up, jacked up world. So they are going to be a witness that, come on in, that Jesus still loves you. That's what we got to minister, first of all. Jesus loves you, whatever state of being that you are in.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
He loves you if you're an adulterer, if you're a fornicator, if you're a backbiter, because we name them off all the main things. If you're a homosexual or a lesbian, he still loves you.
Right.
But he died for you. He died for all of us to be changed.
Let me read this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. It does read, we know that we are in perilous times.
Yes.
It says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come.
Mm-hmm.
For men shall be lovers of their own selves,
mm-hmm.
covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. They look like they're saved. They're saved on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
They're on Sunday.
And Bible class night.
And Bible class night. But then Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, they're at the clubs. They're on the dance floor. They're in the strip joints. They're in places where they know that they shouldn't be. But
right.
then they're back holy again on Sunday. But it's
right.
but denying the power thereof. From such turn away.
Right.
And don't forget, and they save on Easter. Because a lot of people like to come to church on Easter. Oh, save on Easter, honey. I'm going to get
and I like the word that you just said. It's religion.
It's religion.
Mm-hmm. Because when a person does something on a consistent basis,
mm-hmm.
just because, or they know, okay, I got to do this,
mm-hmm.
it becomes
a ritual.
And ritual is another word for religion.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And so
That's religion. The Pharisees had religion.
Exactly.
The Sadducees had religion.
Yeah.
And that's why the Word of God declared, you know, search the Scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
Search the Scriptures.
If your way of living is not lined up with the Word of God, then it's wrong.
And y'all know on this show, I don't hesitate to say what the Lord gives to me. So in this, we have to preach this the way the Lord tells us to.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are souls dying every day. And there are people that think that they have life and they really don't have life.
Mm-hmm.
And like you all were saying, there's, you know, the and we're not talking about them, but the dope addict,
mm-hmm,
says that they're a Christian.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
The prostitute, the one that whoever.
The one that's selling it.
Right. They say that they're Christian, but we talked on the show before, to be a Christian is to be Christ-like.
Right.
To be a Christian is to be an ambassador for the gospel of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
The
right.
gospel of Jesus Christ is the pure
unadulterated truth.
Right. It's the unadulterated truth. It is the holy instruction. It gives you holy instruction.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you holy direction. It gives you holy living. Everything in the gospel. This is the gospel.
Right.
It's a guide.
Yeah.
It's a guide. Just like you, and like you're trying to fix something on your car. You're not gonna go willy nilly and just go out there to your car and start doing something that you don't know. You're gonna get a book or something, or you're gonna
I ain't trying to say that much more.
Or
you're gonna find somebody.
Find something on the internet that's gonna give you some guidance.
Right.
Well, this is what the Word of God does. It gives you guidance into a holy living, a better, might I add, it's a better way of living, greater. It's magnificent. It's a wonderful way of living.
And the scripture the scripture that just came to mind was, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I say this on the show all the time. If you want to know how to live life, read the Word of God.
Mm-hmm. If you want peace, read the Word of God.
Right.
So many people are seeking for so many things. Quite frankly, the reason why dope pushers are dope pushers and dope addicts are dope addicts, first of all, we need to establish the fact that we're born in sin and shaken in iniquity. Amen?
Right.
When we enter to this earthly realm, we are born in sin because of the sellout of Adam and Eve. Amen?
Right.
So the second Adam, which is Jesus Christ, he came to restore that which was lost.
Right.
Amen? And once he, after the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus, that gave us a right to the tree of life.
Right.
He came to restore what was taken away from Adam, Eve, or given over to,
mm-hmm,
they gave it over to,
mm-hmm,
so that we can have that right to live with the Word. You can't hardly live this Word without the Holy Ghost living on the inside.
It's impossible.
It is.
To live a holy life without the Spirit of Christ inside of you to guide you into the knowledge of the Lord and also to guide you as you walk in truth.
Well, you can't live. You're right. You can't live this life without the Holy Ghost, because in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, it says, without the Spirit of God, you're none of His. You can't even have a relationship with Him, truly a true relationship with Him.
Right.
And you can know about
Him. He may love you, but this is different.
Now, I use this example, and I know y'all have never heard me use this example before, but I've used this example. Now, I have your last name.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up, brothers, sisters, we all were underneath y'all's roof.
Yeah.
We had benefits that came with you working, you had benefits. All the benefits,
mm-hmm,
that you had, the house had.
Right.
Every benefit. And I'm talking health-wise, food, shelter, all of that.
That was a part of the family.
Right, that was a part of the family. That was a part of the package of the family.
Right.
But we had friends come over.
Yes.
We had friends come over all the time.
All the time.
All the time. But they didn't get the full benefit of our father's benefits.
Right.
They got partial of the benefits. They got some of it.
Not full.
But not the full benefits. They didn't get the health care.
Right.
But they got when they came over, they got a good meal. For real. But 9 times out of 10, they did get some prayer.
Yeah, they got prayer.
Because my mom was gonna anoint everybody in the house.
Right.
But it was partial benefit.
Right.
Why? Because they did not live in the house.
Right.
They didn't have the last name of Tuggle.
You have to be a part of that body.
Right. And you have to be a part of the Lord's house to get the full benefit. That's what we're trying to say.
Amen.
We have to have the full benefit. And the only way to get the full benefit of Christ, the only way to be a Christian
is to
take on the name.
Right.
You have to. And when my parents got married, now, we're a blended family.
Mm-hmm.
We were a blended family.
Yes, sir.
And just like the Gentiles were engrafted in,
mm-hmm.
when Pastor Tuggle and First Lady Tuggle got married, First Lady Tuggle took on the last name of Tuggle.
That's right.
And the children were engrafted into the family of Tuggle.
Tuggle, right.
And they got the benefit.
That's right.
They got every benefit. And that's the same thing with the Gentiles of today.
Mm-hmm.
Us being Gentiles, we were engrafted in, but we have to take on the name.
Right. With that, that's a part of that adoption.
Right, the adoption.
That we're able to take on now because of what the Lord did.
And that's the only way that we will be able to see the Lord in the rapture, because that's our final destination.
That is what's going to change that mortal body into a immortal
exactly.
body.
Exactly.
Right.
You have to have, in this last day, when the rapture is vastly coming, there's so many signs going on. First of all, you have to have a spiritual eye.
Yeah, because it's not going to be a natural. It's not going to be a natural thing
to
hear.
You need it right. Seriously, your spiritual ears need to be open.
Right.
And everything, because there are spiritually blinded. Even in the faith, there are spiritually blinded people.
Well, the Bible speaks of the blind lead the blind, they all fall in the ditch.
Exactly. You've got pastors out there that are blinded by. They don't see the truth, and unless they ask the Lord sincerely within themselves to show them the truth, they will never receive the truth.
Amen.
Look, and I do know we're speaking of the end times, but Jesus is saying it's the little foxes that destroy the vine.
Right.
And if we don't ask God, and I adjure every person that's listening to this, you ask God for yourself. Pastors are good. Bishops are good. We need them.
Right.
They're part of the fivefold ministry.
Right.
We need them. But as they are preaching, teaching, and everything to you, get your Bible out. Ask God to illuminate your spiritual eyes and your spiritual ears. That it open up your heart to receive. I know when Pastor McGordon spoke on the unity, that there was just one God.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know exactly what I thought there was, but when she was teaching, I know I sat in my seat. And this is after the Holy Ghost. My head was like this, shaking no. But when I got home, literally, my Bible opened up to John 1:1,
mm-hmm.
and because I wanted to know the truth, God showed me the truth. I looked at it, I read it, I even saw a light, or a star, or whatever it was that illuminated that. I saw the unity of God. You have to ask God for yourself, and He will show you.
That's why at times I say in church that you cannot watch or listen to every TV evangelist that comes on the TV set. Because
or over the radio.
Or over the radio. Or if you're in a church that's not teaching or preaching truth, you need to leave that church and go to one that is preaching and teaching truth. Because you can't guide somebody in truth if you don't have truth,
right?
That you may be given a word that's just gonna tickle somebody, there's a lot of preachers.
Lot of
preachers. It's nothing wrong with prosperity teaching and preaching. But if that's the only thing you're receiving, you're not getting a complete spiritual diet, because you need something that's going to be a substance that helps you to live for the Lord.
Right.
Because it's more than just receiving a house.
Right.
It's more than just getting a promotion on your job. These are things that are good, but
right.
it's more than that. There's more than just being blessed of God, but you also, in God blessing us,
right.
we have to be willing and ready to live for God,
right.
to show him, to be a living epistle, to be a living epistle, and to show him that we appreciate
right.
what he's done for us, for the love that he has given us and allowing us, because we didn't get saved off of our, like you were saying, off of our own accord.
Right.
If that were the case, we'd all still be out there lost.
And if we could get saved off our own accord, we wouldn't need Jesus.
We wouldn't need
Jesus. And
Jesus
wouldn't have had to die.
He wouldn't have had to go to the cross.
And I know, I understand that our flesh does not want to be crucified.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Just like Jesus' natural being did not want to die. He didn't want to.
Right.
He said, "Let this cup, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me." He was
but
talking
not
about
my will, but thy
will
be
done.
Flesh.
Yeah, his fleshly side did not want to die.
Because he knew exactly what he was going to have to go through.
Right.
And seeing that picture, that horrific picture,
right.
that is an example. If we knew that danger was ahead of us,
right.
we're going to go a different route.
Right.
We're not going to go that direction.
Right.
But Jesus loved
well,
us
some
enough.
People.
Yeah,
yeah,
some,
some people.
Some people.
And nowadays, we have
some people that just walk right on into
yeah.
it.
Yeah, because think about it. On our way here, we had how many people?
Three.
We almost was into three accidents because people were driving crazy. They knew what they was doing.
Cutting us off.
Was dangerous. And
mm-hmm.
they were cutting us off, cutting in front of us, the whole nine yards. And they knew that it was dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, people, because some people love danger.
But,
yes,
and even with the spiritual realm, some people will go to people's churches just to hear the word that tickle their ear.
Mm-hmm.
They walk literally into danger.
And yeah, because there's something like you were saying earlier, what was being said earlier, that some preachers, they're allowing their congregations to live any kind of way they want to and say, okay, I know this is dealing with end times, that grace has you covered.
Right.
And so because grace has you covered, you can live any kind of way you want to and still get to heaven. But the Bible speaks against that.
Now,
so we continue in sin that grace may abound, God forbid.
Now, I'm not now, because I've had a time where a pastor got upset with me
mm-hmm.
about a certain thing that I said. So since you, that's one of the reasons why I have y'all here. You're a pastor.
Yeah.
So what I'm getting ready to say, I want you to clarify what I'm getting ready to say. If a pastor speaks a word that goes against the word of God or
mm-hmm.
adds to the word of God or takes away from the word of God, are they in judgment?
Oh, yes. They're going to be judged. The Bible says if you add anything to the word of God that's already printed, then the Bible lets you know, let them be accursed. They're going to be judged
right.
because they're falsely leading their congregations in the wrong direction.
And so that scripture, and then another scripture that backs that up is woe unto them
mm-hmm.
that scattereth the sheep.
That's
mm-hmm.
right. Amen.
So is that for pastors and leaders that teach against or add to or take away from the word?
Of course. Can I add this scripture?
Yeah, go ahead.
And this is not just depicting people that are just teaching false, but in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, it reads, "Now the Spirit speaking expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith,
yes,
giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies." Now this is the man or woman of God speaking lies in hypocrisy,
mm-hmm.
having their consciences a seer with a hot iron. That's that man or woman of God is standing up in that pulpit preaching something that they know that they shouldn't be preaching, whether it's to gain more members of the church. Yes, we all want more members of our church, but we want to got them right.
Right.
You know, the main thing is that they're growing in the Lord.
Right.
But this is not just talking about somebody like Jim Jones or something. This is talking about your everyday leader that might be telling you something that's not the truth, or diluting the truth, sugarcoating the truth. So because they don't, they're afraid that you'll leave because of the fact that you won't give them the truth and take your money with them.
Exactly. Take
their money with them.
They want to tell you the truth because they want your tithes and your offering.
Right.
Hey, you just got to be careful. You got to be careful of who you're listening to. Because if you're not, you're going to be left behind,
and you're going to be wondering, why did my pastor, why did my leader tell me the truth? I wouldn't be left here. I wouldn't have been left behind. Mr. Mark, the rapture of the church, and be left to be faced in the great tribulation when, if he hadn't told me the truth, maybe I would have responded to that direction.
And one thing that the Bible speaks of in Galatians 1, it says in verse number 6, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel. And verse number 7, which is not another, but people try to dilute the word of God. And the Bible speaks of when you try to add the world into the gospel of Jesus Christ, it becomes profane.
Right, right.
It's profane. Profane things, and the Bible says, turn away from it. So what we're trying to say is, in these end times, these things are happening.
It's going on right now.
It's happening right now.
And people are appearing as angels of light.
Right.
And they're Antichrist.
And they're Antichrist, exactly.
I was turning through the TV station one time, and I heard a preacher on the TV. I stopped for a second because it was church service. I heard a preacher on there, and it was afterwards. I have never listened to him again. I mean, I wasn't listening to him before, but I definitely wasn't going to listen to him afterwards. He stood there and said, if you are practicing homosexuality, you are still going to heaven.
No, you're not. You can't practice no sin.
Right. You can't practice any sin and think you're going to go to heaven, because sin will never again. When the devil got kicked out of heaven, that was the end of sin being in heaven.
Right. And I say this all the time. What makes you think, anybody, this is for anybody, what makes a person think that if God kicked the devil out for sin, who are we to think that God will accept us with sin on us?
Right. He was number one angel.
Right. He was the number one. And the only thing he did was try to put himself above God.
Above God. Well, that's enough right
there.
Right,
that's enough. But he didn't do some of the stuff that the world is doing today.
Right.
He just tried to put himself above God, and that was enough to get him kicked out.
Right.
Now, you might say, well, that's a lot. But that might be a little thing to God. And God, I'm not saying that is a little thing.
Well, it wasn't a little thing.
It wasn't a little thing. It was a major thing.
He wanted to be God himself.
Right.
And here's the thing. We're talking about a haughty and a puffed up spirit. That's what Satan had.
Right.
Very stubborn, very rebellious. This is where the church arena is right now. You got people now who used to respect the man or woman of God. They would never dare rose up against them and cuss them out. You have people coming into the church. When we was at in Anderson for my cousin's funeral, we was near a church that I used to go to every once in a while when I was a little girl that my cousin took me to. So I couldn't remember the name, so we didn't see the sign of the name. So my husband got out. He went up to the church store to see if the name was up there. And what he saw was no book bags allowed in here. So the Lord let me know, what they're saying is they don't want no book bags in here because they don't want nobody bringing a bomb or a gun in there. Years ago, nobody would have thought about bringing they respected the household of faith. They would never brought a gun or a bomb, shoot it up, or anything like
any
that.
Church
that's in any church. I don't care if you were Baptist, Catholic, Methodist, United Methodist,
they respected it.
Right. And they honored it. They honored the man or woman of God. Now, back then, a long time ago, they really didn't have too many women pastors. But whatever they had, they respected and they honored. Okay, now, they might have talked about them behind their back, but they would never get up in front of their face
right. And
sit there and cuss them out and stuff like that. Because I know back in the day that we talked about. But we really, I'm going to tell you, that's honest God truth. True. We really talked about the holiness people.
Mm-hmm.
I talked about them. I know other people talked about them. But once when I became holiness, I was like, oh, my God, forgive me, Jesus.
Because
we didn't understand that we thought that the holiness church was just another religion.
Right.
Okay? Let's get that cleared up.
Right.
We thought when I was out in the world, we thought that was just another religion like any other one.
Right.
But what we didn't understand that there was some true power, and still is some true power going up inside the holiness church.
Yeah.
Power being on dwelling on the inside of these people
mm-hmm.
that were being filled with God's spirit.
Mm-hmm.
See, if,
we are living in the last days. The lukewarm church, the seven churches mentioned in the Bible, and seven churches, the Laodicean church,
mm-hmm.
which. Church era we are in now, like the earlier, the lackadaisical church, the ones that
need if I
go to church, okay. If I don't go to church, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't go to church, oh well, you know, I'll just go next week. Who cares?
Right.
You know, it's I don't care.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
But because some people watch it via whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Church and every stuff like that, and even in the holiness churches, they watch like that
on TV
and stuff. And I'm talking
you don't
about
get the you don't get the fulfillment that you would if you were there.
What was dropped into my spirit? Now we just came out of the pandemic, okay? So a lot of us was watching it via that because of the pandemic, But now that the pandemic actually took some people out of the church because some people never went back. Is being clear?
Were they there at the beginning?
No, they were, but not worldly.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
They weren't. They were just a bump. They were just a body filling up a chair
pew.
Or a pew.
Right. Whatever. I couldn't wait for church to get started.
I really didn't wait for church to get started again. But it really took some people out, and they need to come back. If you're a backslider out there, I'm going to take this opportunity because never minister the word of God without giving some kind of altar call. If you're out there, first of all, if you're a backslider, you need to come on back home to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Do your first works over. Go to the altar. And I'm not talking about the altar where you inside the church. I'm talking about the altar of your heart. Go back and ask God to forgive you and to reclaim you and fill you with the Holy Ghost, give you the gift of the Holy Ghost. Repent. And if you have never been in holiness, repent and be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission or the removing of your sins
mm-hmm.
and being filled with the Holy Ghost. Nicodemus came to Christ by night. He said, Master, what must I do to be born again?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't
say
to be saved.
He wanted to know
how to
inherit eternal life.
Exactly. Thank you, Pastor. And he said, you have to do this and this and that. Now, Nicodemus was thinking about the natural. He was
mm-hmm.
not understanding Jesus in the
right.
fullness. This is a spiritual birth. You're mm-hmm. born in the natural world and you come through your mother's womb.
Mm-hmm.
This spiritual birth that we're going to have, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. This transformation, this great, great transformation is a spiritual birth where you're being birthed through the Spirit of Christ
mm-hmm.
into the newness of life.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody wants something new.
Right.
And, you know, everybody wants cars, houses, mansions, and this and that, and they want to go on an airplane, all this stuff. We're just going to name it all. But this is something more better. This is a more excellent way. When you're birthed into the kingdom,
mm-hmm.
there is going to be something. Just like on the natural, they have to know that you're alive. Because a lot of people don't understand tongues.
Mm-hmm. First of all, they don't
seek after.
They don't seek. We don't seek after tongues. But a lot. I'm gonna do this because a lot of people think that tongues is just a gift, and there's the gift of tongues.
Yeah, go ahead.
There's a gift of tongues.
Yeah.
But on the natural birthing part,
right.
Everybody that's born of the water and the spirit, there's going to be at least one time where you're going to speak in tongues. There's the spirit of Jesus Christ gives the utterance
right.
of God Almighty himself.
Right.
There's going to be, that's how you know
they
get
just
born
like a little baby being born.
Mm-hmm.
They cry out.
Exactly. So you're crying out, Abba, Father, in another language.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you know you've been born again. And the altar worker that is working with you, and guess what? I mean, you make it, if you're at home and you can't make it to a church, if you're on your deathbed and you got the baptism in Jesus' name, you can speak in tongues. If you repent, God can fill you with the Holy Ghost right here and now.
Right.
If you're just right there, you got to get desperate. First of all, go ahead, Brother Adam.
The thing is that, because I want to deal with the rapture next, but in these end times, we have to understand that the only way for us to make it to heaven,
that's right,
and make it in the rapture, we have to have his spirit.
Exactly.
We have to not be deceived because the enemy has so much deception in the church and out of the church to try to get us to be deceived so we can miss out on what the Lord has for us, which is the coming of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to come. We are considered as his bride.
Right.
And I want to deal with that because that's what the rapture is consisted of. We are his bride.
The bride of Christ.
In Revelations chapter 21, verse 2, it talks about us being the bride of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
In Ephesians chapter number 5, starting at verse 26, it talks about us being the bride of Christ. But I want you guys to, Pastor and First Lady, I want you to talk about the rapture and what we are, waiting on. What does the word, because the word rapture
needs to be caught away
okay.
or snatched away.
Now, for the ones that do not know, because we have people on here that come on here and listen, and they may not know. The word rapture is not in the Bible, correct?
No, it's not. But there is scripture that talks about the rapture, even though the word rapture is not in there.
Now, the word rapture, which is another Greek word for the word harpazo, which
mm-hmm.
means the catching away.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the word rapture means, correct?
Right, correct.
Okay. So even though the word rapture is not in the Bible, we do have scripture to back up that word.
True.
That word that means the catching away. Can you go into those scriptures as far as that? I know in 1 Thessalonians.
There's one in 1 Thessalonians that you're mentioning. That starts at verse 16.
Right.
Because Paul is explaining to the Thessalonians, those that had died, had lived for the Lord, had died, he was explaining to them that all is not lost with them.
Right.
But it says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout,
mm-hmm.
with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God,
mm-hmm.
and the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Mm-hmm.
Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words.
Now, this is the rapture.
Yes, this is the rapture.
Now, some people, and I know we're big on social media and social media age or whatever. There are some people that do not believe that
mm-hmm.
the Lord is coming back, which we know that he is because he's given. If you look at the signs, you can tell that the word of God is on point.
Can I add this other scripture? Here's another scripture dealing with the rapture of the church.
Go ahead.
Okay, in 1 Corinthians. Chapter 15,
verse 51 and starting at verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. Mm-hmm. We shall not all sleep. I mean, we have not all died in Christ.
Right.
But we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. But a trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And it goes on to talk about the corruptible bodies that we have now that can feel pain and stuff. It's going to be changed to take on this incorruptible body. And since we are dealing, since your lesson is dealing with end times and also the tribulation, that's why, you know, the Bible tells us that we need to be ready.
Mm-hmm.
There won't be any time to go to whoever you may have wronged,
right,
or to try to something that you have done that needs to be repented of.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because it's quicker than a second.
Right.
It says in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. That's right. Quicker than you can even bat your eye.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so you have to pretty much stay ready. And if
right.
you know that there's something wrong in your life, you need to get it right now, because
mm-hmm.
the rapture could come today.
Right.
Amen.
Yes. And we're waiting on that great day. This is the day. This is why we are living holy. This is why we are living the life that God has called for us to live.
Mm-hmm.
This is why we gave our life over to God. This
mm-hmm.
is why. And we're not, we don't say the, we don't preach, we don't teach to scare people, because the Lord gives us, just like he gave Adam, the freedom of choice.
Mm-hmm.
You have the choice to either serve him or not.
Or deny him. And if you, and he doesn't want the fear tactic to draw somebody, because if that person should stop being fearful,
right,
then they're right back in the place that they were in, right back out into the world, because they don't fear God, or they don't have to. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Right.
And it's showing him reverence.
Right. That means right. And so what I want to say right now is this. First off, the Bible declares that we have something prepared for us. He went away to prepare a place for us,
mm-hmm.
so that where he is, we may be also.
Yeah, amen.
And in the process of that, we have to get ready for his coming. We have to, just like a bride getting ready for a wedding, that bride gets ready, that bride is happy to be, you know, be with that groom for the rest of their life. Well, this is a spiritual life. This is eternal life that we get to spend with Jesus for the rest of eternity. And you can choose whether or not. Now, I was talking to Apostle Cook before the start of the show. And when I first got saved, I used to think, and this was me, and the Lord had to deal with me
mm-hmm.
on this. I used to think that God sent people to hell.
No,
and
also.
Right. And the Lord said, no, I don't send people to hell, Al. They send myself.
Right.
Because in my word, I made a way for everybody to make it to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody's not going to heaven.
Right.
And it's just like I give this example about heaven and about the rapture of the church. There's a lot of great basketball players,
mm-hmm.
a lot of great NFL players, but very few make the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's the same thing with the coming of the Lord. There's going to be a lot of great people that are in the earth. There's a lot of great preachers, ministers, whatever you want to call pastors, with big names.
Mm-hmm.
Big names. The Bishop Golders, the Pastor McGordon, the Pastor Tuggles, the Bishop Harris, all of these great people. But we have to look at, am I ready?
Mm-hmm.
Above the big name, above, I've preached here, I've preached there, I've taught here.
I've written books.
I've
ye worker of iniquity, I don't know you. Lord, I used to preach your word. I don't know you. I used to teach your word, Lord. And if you're not living right, I never knew ye worker of iniquity.
Right.
And it's one thing to know about Jesus. But it's another thing to know Jesus and for Jesus to know you.
Well, and the only way that you know, really know the Lord, is knowing him in the pardon of your sins.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said this on the show before. Everybody knows about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
They call themselves, the people that call themselves Christian that we know that are not saved, but they call themselves Christian. They know about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
They know that Jesus can save them. They know that Jesus can heal them.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they've been at church and they praise the Lord. Now, mm-hmm. there's nothing wrong with praising the Lord.
Right.
I love to praise the Lord. But just because you praise the Lord does not make you saved.
Oh no, no. In the church I grew up in, and this was a family church because I went to various churches. But when I went to my family church, and I'm not going to name it, but everybody was clapping their hands.
Yeah.
When I say that was one of the baddest choirs that I ever heard, it was one of the baddest choirs and everything else, and people were jumping up and down and leaping. But as soon they got out the church doors, it was back to sinning,
right.
Back to smoking, back to drinking, back to cursing, back to fornicating, back to all of it. You know, it's that form of godliness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But not have no power. That's exactly what it was. I love my family. I do.
Right.
But the truth is that you need to repent.
Right. And there has to be a separation.
Exactly.
From sin.
Right. You know, there are some pastors say that tell people does not say that you can't praise the Lord. That's a lie.
That is a lie.
No. I had a young man years ago. Came to me, and he wasn't saved. He let me know that he wasn't saved. I said, well, I tell you what you do. You need to just start praising the Lord.
Right.
Start praising him. He said, well, I can't praise the Lord. I said, well, why not? He said, because my pastor told me that I'm not allowed to praise the Lord because I'm not saved.
That's...
So anyway, make a long story short, the young man went on about his way. But later, a couple of weeks later, I saw him again, and he was so excited because he said, you know what? I started praising the Lord like you said, and the Lord filled me with the Holy Ghost. He saved me.
I thank
the Lord for that. I mean, because he had been told something that wasn't true, and he ended up praising God and ended up receiving the Spirit of God.
Right.
Psalms 150 says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. The elements praise God.
And the elements have no Holy Ghost.
And they have no soul. No soul.
No.
Or nothing like that. Animals praise God.
Exactly.
Also, the other scripture, and I can't remember exactly what it's
148. I think it's 148 Psalms talks about the elements.
Yep.
Praise
yep.
the Lord.
But God dwells in the midst. You know how you... I have never seen so many disgruntled saints in all my life. They have no joy, and they almost look like they don't have no peace. The reason why you don't, the scripture says, he dwells in the midst of praise.
Yeah.
You don't just go to church and praise God
right.
while you're in
praise.
Church.
Praise
you, you take that praise
mm-hmm.
in everywhere you go. When you lay down at night, hallelujah,
mm-hmm.
when you lay down at night, give a God a praise. I heard when I used to travel with my pastor and we would share, and sometimes we had to share the same rooms. We would pitch in and we all shared the same room. I heard my pastor rolling over, speaking in tongues, and giving him praise, even in her.
Sometimes I do that.
Sometimes my companion, I hear him rolling over, giving God the praise, giving him the praise while he's sleeping, Jesus said. This is how you keep your joy. This is how you keep your peace. This is how you keep the fruit of the Spirit. Because I thought the scripture also came to mind that there were 10 versions,
mm-hmm.
five wise and five foolish.
Mm-hmm.
The five
five wise kept their lamps trending burning. They kept the oil burning. This is how you keep the oil burning. This is how you're going to get caught up in the rapture. You got to read your words. You got to fast and pray and stay in the narrow way. And I know that's a song, but it's true anyhow. To stay in, this is a narrow way. Broad is the gate. Hallelujah. That goes deep.
Wide is the destruction.
That leads to destruction.
Narrow is the way.
And narrow is the way that leads to the pathway of holiness, to the pathway of heaven in Jesus' name. So let's talk about that broad gate that people are going to fall in, because people ain't talking about hell no more.
Right.
They try to almost, they put everybody in heaven. They put everybody in heaven. The Bible says that hell has enlarged itself.
Yeah.
That means people are going.
People are going.
There is
a hell. As sure as my name is Cosette, well, I'm going to say Cosette, because since God changed my name from Cosette to Cosetta, as sure as my name is Cosetta, Marie Trotman hyphen Tuggle, there is a hell, as sure as I'm sitting in this seat. And people are going, and they're going in leaps and bounds. And guess what? Some people have made a contract with the devil himself, have surrendered their soul over. Oh, yes.
Like the Illuminati group.
Well, I don't know. I hear about the Illuminati, but I know a man who was a devil worshiper.
Oh, yeah,
Satan worshiper before he got filled with the Holy Ghost.
And the devil don't care nothing about
him.
He was a devil, Satan worshiper. He did his perform his rituals and everything else along with the people that he was involved with. The Lord snatched him from that life, and he is now an elder.
Yes.
In the church of holiness.
Yes.
And he preaches and he teaches and he lives a sanctified, holy life. Don't tell me what God can't do.
Right.
And he's been saved probably longer than I have. And I've been saved for 36 years. In November 12th will be my spiritual birthday. And guess what? I celebrate that spiritual birthday more so than my natural birthday. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Because God, look, God is a keeper. I want people to know that too.
Yeah.
You can live this life that we preach and talk about. People will tell you something different. And if you fall, you have an advocate with the Father, which is Jesus Christ. Go to your pastor. Let me tell you something. Stop telling your business to all these people. Stop telling your business. Stop telling your confessions to all these people. Because the Bible says, be not a stumbling block.
And if your pastor ain't right, be careful for your pastor.
Exactly. Go find somebody. Go find a pastor.
That's not going to spread.
That's living and teaching and preaching the truth.
That'll mess somebody.
Matter of fact, I wouldn't even sit up underneath the pastor that I know that's not living what he or she teaches and preaches. Baby, because there was something in the New Testament where a son and a mother was sleeping and they put them out.
Mm-hmm.
You hear me?
In 1 Corinthians.
You only put people out of the church when they ain't doing right. It's still holy. If they ain't living right and they're bringing a mess into the church and messing up other sheep, put them out the church. Now, if they ain't messing up the church and they're living right, you don't put them out the church.
Well, bring them before the church.
Before the church. But if
they
ain't living right, they
decide that they still don't want to change, then you have to escort them out.
Escort them out.
Excommunicate yourself. But
exactly.
If they're willing to change.
If they're willing the church to change it, like with a husband and a wife. If your wife or your husband end up cheating on you, and I'm talking about in the holiness church, and if you decide you want to stay with them, and they want to stay with you, you stay married. But if that husband or wife that does good to do wants to leave you, then you're free to go. Because so too many people teaching that you got to stay together.
That's what the Lord's giving me is thought of what I just stated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now,
first you would talk to the individual,
right,
of course, before you even bring them before the church.
Mm-hmm.
But after you talk to them, told them what can happen if they don't live right or they continue in their way and they still don't want to change, then that's when you bring them before the church.
Because why would you keep somebody inside the church that's messing up the flock? Because you know what? If they're messing up the flock, if they're doing what they're doing, that is spirit, first of all. It's spirit.
Will it
transfer over?
Right.
That's why I'm going to tell you something. Not just anybody can lay their hands on me.
Right.
Yeah.
Because if you're living a corrupt style life, an unholy life, you keep your hands off of me. Because I don't want your spirit.
That takes me back to Evangelist Mildred Boyce. She wouldn't let nobody even hug her.
Nope, she sure wouldn't.
If you were living right, you weren't going to hug her.
Because she didn't want the spirit to be on her. And that's protecting yourself.
And don't tell me that spirits don't get transferred. Because when the lunatic man that got cast out.
With demons, yes.
With demons, and he cast those demons into the swine. And that it was so
he cast them out of him, and then they went into the swine.
That's what I'm saying. They went into the swine.
Yes, yes.
And those spirits were so horrific that they ended up killing themselves.
Right. They didn't want to live. All of the swine killed themselves.
Exactly. People don't understand that spirits are real. Demons are real. And they will get off into you and have you backslidden.
That's right.
There's a scripture that came to mind in Jude, but there's only one chapter of Jude. But verse number 4, it says, for there are certain men that have crept in unaware.
That's what the Lord been giving me.
There is certain men that have, and it's not just talking about the physical man.
Mm-mm.
It's talking about the spirit.
Yes.
In that person.
Mm-hmm.
Spirit, yes.
The spirit in that individual.
That's right.
That have crept into the church and that are trying to destroy the body, because in John 10:10 it said the thief coming but to steal, kill, and to destroy.
Yes.
It's the thief that sends the spirits.
Exactly.
And so he wants to destroy the church.
I don't know if I should give this or not.
Go ahead.
But I remember the two of us going to visit at a church. I'm not going to say the church or whatever, but there was someone standing teaching, doing Bible study. He wasn't a member of that church.
Mm-hmm.
But he was teaching a Bible study lesson, and I know this is dealing about the Antichrist also. He was calling himself teaching on the Antichrist,
mm-hmm.
saying and the tribulation and everything. And one of the statements that he made, and it sort of shook me up, he said, I want to be here for the great tribulation so that I can go around and tell people that's the Antichrist right there. And it was talking about going, the church being here for half of the Great Tribulation. And you know, he was off. I mean, I feel as though maybe I was a little out of line, but I was sitting there listening to this, and the saints were listening to the Bible study lesson. And I was like, any second, the pastor's going to get up. He's going to stop this. And he never did. He never got up. And it got to a point where I just couldn't take it no more. I stood up.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave him scriptures and talked to him in front of the congregation. Like I said, I may have been out of line. But I said, you're not right. I let him know, look, I don't know where you got all your so-called teaching from.
Right.
I said, but it's backwards and twisted up.
Right.
I said, you know, and I confronted him. Yeah, because, like I said, on those that creep in unaware,
right.
it might take years. It might take a period of time for a pastor to get their saints to be
where they need to be,
or
right.
back to where they
are back. But it may take a long time to get them back after someone comes in and destroys all that within one setting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I remember not plenty of times, but there were a few times when Pastor McGordon would be like in an anniversary or appreciation service or something like that, and a pastor would get up and they'd be like going. And you got to be, even when a pastor is hyped, up in that pulpit, and they're getting loud and everything. Because just because somebody's getting loud does not mean that's a true anointing.
Right.
You know, hear me today. That does not mean that's a true anointing. Because people practice how to be hype and try to get the people hype. But let me tell you something. She would get up there after they would leave the following Wednesday. She would get up in that pulpit and she would correct it. You have to correct when something foul is coming over that pulpit.
There you go.
You have to correct the sheep and let them know that they were wrong, that was wrong, because you don't want them to get something in their spirit of being and get choked, and then they're lost out there on a limb, get ready to fall off because of false prophecy. Because we do have false prophets that bring forth false teaching. And I will be, if you want to teach on this, preach on this, whatever, again, I will make my way back here so we can continue this, because people are being led astray in this last and latter day.
We only have like 10 minutes left, but what I want to do is, you were right on the head, First Lady, about the falseness that is going on in the church and the false prophet. I say this all the time, and Pastor McGordon taught me this. You do not need a prophet to prophesy over you.
Amen.
You don't have to go to a big name church to get a prophecy to know what's going on in your life. The Bible says life and death lie in the power of the tongue, which means you can prophesy over yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You can speak life over yourself. You can do that. But nobody has the faith anymore.
Right.
No.
I'm not saying that all prophets aren't right.
No, I'm not saying that.
No.
But if they're not lining up with the word of God,
right,
then they are false prophets.
Right.
And not just prophets, but prophetess.
Right.
If they are getting on the airway and they're talking about, oh, the Lord has given me a word, and it's not lining up with the word of God, y'all, you better turn that false prophet or prophetess off. Because most of them, you know what the Lord showed me and gave me? A lot of them come on the air when they need some money. Because I'll be seeing their little Cash App thing. You can Cash App me this. Because I listen to some of them and I'll be like, Lord Jesus, they just off as off can be. But they want to come on there and prophesy. God gave a change. Everybody need a change.
Yeah.
That ain't prophecy.
That's one thing. This is not prophecy, but that's one reason also, too, why I said you can't listen to every TV evangelist that comes on TV, because there was this one minister that came on TV years ago. His name was Robert Tillman.
Yeah, I do.
And he would, if you sent him a $5 or $10 offering, he would lay your, you know, to the side. But if you sent him $100 offering, he's praying over that right then and there.
Right.
That's special to him. You're going to send me $1,000 offering. I got to pray for this now.
And we got to love Jesus, because he don't have no respect for
right.
Him.
The Lord, he don't care.
Fact, he honored the widow's mite giving far more than those who have more to give. Because she gave all she had.
Exactly.
I thank God for Pastor Tuggle and First Lady Tuggle being on, our co-pastor Tuggle being on, in Jesus' name. This is the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on the Spirit Alive Network. As my grandmother used to say, if you don't see me again, I will see you in the rapture of the church. Now, far be it that I would love to see everybody in the rapture.
Amen.
We would love to see everybody in the rapture. But we know that
everybody's
not going. But the way you make it is by doing Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is the only way.
And then living for the Lord afterwards.
Yes.
Gotta add that.
This is the only way to see the Lord's face in peace. You have to have his spirit to be able to live for him.
Right.
And once you live for him and you live for him up until that day, then you have a great mansion in the sky waiting on you.
Amen.
You have streets paved with gold.
Yeah.
And I know, and I'm going to say this in these last few minutes. Since I was a kid at the time, the first time I wasn't even born, but my grandmother, she passed away, and then they brought her back.
Yeah, she died in 84. They brought her back, and she lived 8 more years after that.
But so, the thing after when they brought her back, what did she say?
She said her remarks were, "Why did you bring me back? I love my family, but why did you bring me back?" She couldn't describe anything up there, but she said it was so peaceful.
And that lets you know that heaven is real.
And that lets you know what we have waiting on us.
Mm-hmm.
That all of our loved ones that have gone on to be with the Lord, we're going to see them again one day. As long as we live right and as long as we have the Holy Ghost on the inside of us and allowing us to allowing the Holy Ghost to lead and guide us through this life, we'll make it one day.
Amen.
God bless you. I love you. I will see y'all next week. Amen. If the Lord says the same, I know we did not touch the tribulation period that much. Actually, would y'all like to come back next week?
Yeah, sure. Look, if it be the Lord's will.
We're going to teach on the tribulation period because we really didn't get to dive into it, but we're going to dive into it.
You can have a subject, but if the Lord changes the subject, that's what you do.
Oh, yeah. The listeners on here know that the Lord, whatever the Lord gives to me, I do it the way the Lord says. I don't go by clock.
No set protocol.
Yeah, no set protocol. It's Jesus' call. Amen. God bless you all. I will see y'all all next week. God bless you.
Oh, thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you,
Adam.
Minister Adam, for having us here on today.
This is my pastor and my first lady / co-pastor, Pastor William Tuggle, and First Lady Cosette Tuggle. If y'all hear her speaking in tongues, amen. She will praise the Lord at the drop of a dime. So we need to get out of here because we're about to start having church. Amen. Amen. But we thank God for being here on today. This is the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle. God bless you. I love you. And until next week, God bless you in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.